a 34% jump in physical music sales. The aftermath of Eric Murillo's death, our thoughts on new music from Martin Garrix, Cosmic Gate and Andrew Bayer, Nicky Romero's new alias Monocule, and all of this and so, so much more on episode 73 of Beyond the Beat, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Let's get it.
What's up, EDM champions? Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 73 of the Beyond the Beats podcast, a podcast about EDM news and culture. We're going to cover it all, but before we get into that, I have the on repeat this week, and I'm taking you guys down to a nice Spanish cafe, okay? Perhaps you ordered a nice latte. The art is looking good. You're in the coffee shop, and you got this song playing in the background. This is Sabe's song, Agua. Take a listen to this.
Awesome latte making and drinking music, Samir. I love it, man. Coming in with the good vibes. It's just, that is such a great way to describe this song. How'd you come across it?
Dude, I fucking love this song, and I found it through one of my personal favorite record labels, Majestic Casual Records. I've been listening to Majestic Casual stuff for a long time. Their YouTube channel is one of my absolute favorite for those chill tracks, those like tracks that you want to throw on a nice 8-hour long YouTube video of a beach, smoking some hookah back in the good old days, and also having their playlist running. And this is just one of my favorite songs, just because I just love the vibes it's emanating. It's not necessarily like a traditional EDM track, but there are just enough electronic influences in this otherwise traditionally hip-hop beat that just makes it so much fun, so interesting. And this is truly an on-repeat track. Every time I hit the car, every time I'm driving, this song is a guaranteed play.
This is like the hookah lounge playlist type of music, right?
Exactly.
Something like that. I love it, man.
I miss my hookah smoking days, but my health is better for it now that I'm not smoking hookah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are, man. I'm glad that you decided not
Thanks,
to.
Thanks, dog.
But I tell you what, so much new music to unpack here. So let's just kick it off with some energy, some heat. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my days. We've got two giants, an OG of the French house scene in the modern era. Okay, we've got Marla teaming up with rising star Koos for their track called Hell. Take a listen.
Oh, dude, my room is burning up right now, man. Let me tell you something. What a massive way to start off this episode with a huge collaboration from Mala and an artist that we're watching, the dawn of Noir Sur Blanc Records. We're talking about Koos. We got dark, atmospheric, with a hint of those old school vibes, especially like those synth shots that they threw into it. This song really makes you feel like you're taking a journey through the fiery depths of hell, and this is just the sort of intensity that we need on the dance floor or in your headphones. Massive fan. Alec, what'd you think?
I am all over this song as well, man. It's got intensity, depth, and energy. What a way to start off the new music section, man. Just absolute fire. Just so much creativity coming out of the French house scene. I absolutely love it.
Those Frenchmen and French women are killing it over there. But Alec, what are we talking about next?
We've got Y-Tram. Okay, is that how you say it? Y-Tram, E-Tram?
I think you got E-Tram, Y-Tram.
E-Tram, Y-Tram. Let's say E-Tram. I like that better. E-Tram, Elderbrook, and Martin Garrix teaming up for a song called Fire. Let's play it.
Alec, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Do you know who E-Tram is?
I do not, actually. I was just going to ask you that.
My man, that is Martin Garrix's alias. So this is actually E-Tram and Elderbrook teaming up for the song Fire.
I should have known that.
All good, dude. It's all good. But I got to say, man, the founder of Stagehoppers, you know, like that massive Instagram account with all the dopest rave videos ever, he put me on to Elderbrook. So when I saw they teamed up with Martin Garrix, or like this alias of Martin Garrix, E-Tram, my interest was immediately piqued. This is honestly, dude, and I truly mean this, one of my favorite releases off of Stamped Records. The lyrics from Elderbrook fit in so beautifully, and this house production from E-Tram, the Martin Garrix alias, is done very well. And just a quick note, Elderbrook is a real name to watch in the EDM vocalist space. He sang the song Cola, he did his track Why Do We Shake in the Cold with Teed, and now we got the song Fire. This is a good one.
You know, at first, man, I wasn't about this song, but I actually have come more around to it as I've listened to it multiple times, especially on that second, that latter half there, the second drop. It has a nice combination of sounds and styles here with some big room-esque tension building and deep house or melodic house-esque drop. I'm about it, man. I really am, and I'm really excited to see where he takes this alias going forward.
Love that, brother. Love that. And then we got one more for the EDM champions in the new music section. We're talking about Carta with this brand new track, More Time, released on Musical Freedom Records. Take a listen.
You know, man, after a couple listens, I find myself feeling a little bit disappointed here. I love that, right? I mean, I love that he's trying some trance out here, but I feel like he missed the execution a bit, especially on the crescendo part of that first drop there. Just felt like there was something missing. And just in general, throughout the track, just some elements I feel like that could have been added to give it a bit more depth. There was just, you know what I mean? I just felt like I was wanting a little bit more, a little bit more layering in there. But overall, I will say it was a solid stab at it, but I think he could do better.
I'm right there with you. You know, I really had to give this song a few plays to really formulate my opinions, but in the end, I'm just not that big of a fan of this song, which is a bummer because, you know, I know you really like Carta. I love Carta as well. And it's cool to see him trying some new sounds and incorporating some like trance elements like he did in this one, but this just sounded too basic. Like there just was not enough going on. Right. So I'm going to have to give this one a skip.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. I mean, it can't always be, you know, bangers can't always do well, but just I'm interested to see where he takes this moving forwards. But two more tracks that we have got to put on your radar. It's from the artist that we're watching. Welcome to the new music from artists we're watching section. What a way to kick this one off, all right? We've got two titans, okay, in the neurofunk halftime DMB sector. That is Imanu teaming up with Bunshin for their song Nagao. Take a listen.
Let me tell you something, homie. I don't think anybody was expecting this craziness on the drop, right? Talk about twisting and bending genres, man. Imanu is just coming in here, leading the charge with this new wave and structure of DMB, which is just absolutely dope. Gets the party started, gets the energy right up. And dude, let me tell you something. I was not expecting these drops at all, but when that shit hits, it will smack your face into the next oblivion. I'm pumped up. Alec, what did you think?
Oh my days. I feel like this collab has been in the works for a long while now. And wow, you can just tell. This song has got so many layers, so much creativity and a maturity that comes with two artists who really know their sounds and how to combine it. To be honest, man, I don't think I've actually listened to a track before that leverages a call and response sequence between two of the artists' sounds. You can hear Imanu at the beginning there, coming in with it. Really more on the high ends and some more of the melody, but then Bunshin coming in, packing in that neuro-funk, that gritty, that dark bass on the low end there.
Hell, really interesting
how they were playing between their two different sounds. It really worked out very well, in my opinion.
Dude, love the use of call and response, man. You're straight up using that psych minor to the full effect on the pod. I'm pumped up on that.
I love that you picked that up.
I got you.
But dude, some more bangers to talk about here. Hoda, all right, teaming up with Eloquent. We've talked about these two lads before on the podcast. What's up? Glad that you're back on our radar. They just dropped a massive, massive release on Nightbase Records. It's a 2-track EP by the name of Uptight. Take a listen.
Listen to the vibes I'm giving you. The vibes I'm giving you. Listen to the vibes I'm giving you. The vibes I'm giving you. Listen to the vibes I'm giving ya. Leave man feeling inferior. Imperium, us man are bigger. One dance killer don't make me a sinner. Look, hit rock bottom don't make me a winner. Fuck kind of big pop trying to get thinner. Yeah, I got the mic quite close to the trigger. And we out here, I'm the one dance killer.
Like Alec just said, a massive release on Nightbase Records. Alec, could you remind the EDM champions who the Don is of Nightbase Records, please?
That is the man, the myth, the legend, AC Slater.
What up? Yes, let's go, dude. Both of these tracks are straight up dance floor heaters, but dude, absolutely love both of these, Uptight and Dance Killer, the two tracks off this EP. This shit can melt the iciest of hearts, and if this doesn't get your booty shaken, then nothing will, and you got to get that checked out by a doctor. Alec, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Dance Killer as well as Uptight, just fantastic tracks. I love the contrast they put in here, man. I really enjoyed that. Like baseline heater in the form of Uptight, just really, really good. And then Dance Killer, just what a groove, man. They both
fucking love
tracks,
that song, dude.
Right? They really are. Big up these two because they are coming for your money.
Yes, 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 Alec. Wow, we just blew through a ton of brand new music from big artists, small artists, all alike. But Alec, if the EDM champions want to get plugged in and connected to us or the artists that we just mentioned, could you please tell them how they can do so?
Our website, all right, champions, please visit www.beyondthebeats.co. And you can find us under the URL /episode73. We've got links to all the playlists on Spotify and SoundCloud. Just as a reminder, all of the music that we have mentioned, including the On Repeats, will be found on our Spotify user profile playlist, which you'll find on the website, as I just said. And for SoundCloud, if you want to check out the artists we're watching playlist, that is where you will find it. You can also, please, please, please reach out to us on our socials. Instagram, that's at btb.pod. Twitter, that's at podbtb. And if you want to send us an email, you want to be all formal on that, definitely do it. That's connect@beyondthebeats.co.
Love that. Love that, dude. We love the formality. We love the chill emojis. We love the freaking acronyms. We want it all. Like, if you're sending me something that I have to look at in Urban Dictionary, then you're doing something right because I'm always trying to learn the latest slang, and I know Alec is too. Dude, let's take a nice deep breath, all right, because we just busted through a bunch of heat, and let's move into the news and culture section. I love that we're doing this. The EDM champion question of the week. Could you please tell us the question for this week?
Shout out to Alexis from New York. What's going
on?
Thank you for submitting this question. I really like this one, and I think this is going to be a good topic of a conversation. The question is, where is the best place to stand at a festival? Great, great question there. You know, for me, man, like I feel like we need almost like a map, like an illustration. We should just put one out where it's just got, you know, the different types of dancers, the different types of people in different areas of the festival stage. And so just for me personally, I'm sure Samir that you have some thoughts on this as well, but I prefer to be more towards the back. Middle back is really kind of my location where I like to be, more in the middle enough just so that you get that feeling that you're in the midst of the crowd. you know, you're really in the middle of that set, getting all of that experience around you, but also towards the back further enough so that you can have some space to dance. What about you?
Bro, I'm literally right there with you. I mean, I've been going to shows for the past 8 years with a hiatus in 2020, rip to rave season 2020. But yeah, I've been going to shows for like the past 8 years, and I started off like being way in the front. Like I would just bum rush it right for the front, try to come in from the side and hit the rail right to the front.
I feel like
everybody does.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fun up there. Yeah. And it's fun up there because there's a ton of energy. People are just going absolutely apeshit. You get to see the DJ's face. You get to see the sweat trickling down them and onto the decks themselves. And it's really, really fun. It's really dope. But as my back has started to ache, as my legs needed more of a rest.
You talk like you're 40 years old. You're not that old yet,
man. And I'm only 26 and a half. But as time has gone on and I wanted a little bit more room to kind of like dance and express myself on the dance floor, and I'm not a great dancer, my arms flail out everywhere, I realized that I cannot be in the front with all the crowds, and I had to migrate myself back. So I started from the front, and then I made my way more towards like straight up the middle, the center middle of the crowd, which is still really fun. You got a lot of space in there, but I'm also not a terribly tall guy, and I have elbows coming all up into my face. And then I started to move more towards the back, straight to the middle back. Actually, I find the best place to be is right near or in front of the production booth, which tends to be more in the middle back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it's the perfect culmination of the visuals and the sound all converging into one place right into that booth. So you get just, I feel like, the best of both worlds, the sound, the visuals, and then add on another aspect of having enough space to dance like a maniac. That's why I prefer the middle back. But dude, that is not to say that people should not just experiment and see where they want to go. Like, if you're not a big fan of crowds, if you get a little bit anxious in crowds, go more towards the back. But if this is your first show, your first rave, you're feeling pumped up, head to the front, get up there, be respectful, be kind to the people as you make your way up there, headbang with your fellow headbangers, jump up and down, and have a good time. But it's all about experimentation, finding what really suits what you want.
I think the other factor to consider here too is how quickly do you want to be able to get out of a certain stage and go to another, right? Like, you could camp out at the front if you're one of the main stage campers. Like, it's all right, you know? Definitely, totally fine. And you certainly the front is really for you then if you plan on just staying at that stage for a long time. But if you want to be able to have that flexibility to go out quickly, go to another set, say it's a large festival that you have to attend, like EDC Vegas, for instance, and you need to be able to traverse, you know, all the way across, you know, from, Meadow... I'm trying to remember the names of the stage now.
From Kinetic Field on one end of the massive Las Vegas Motor Speedway all the way to the other side, which is Circuit Grounds.
That's right. Absolutely. So, like, you know, it's just one of those things where you need to take that into consideration, because the further up you are, the more of a hassle it will be to leave. So if you want more space, but you also want that flexibility of going to another stage, definitely the middle back is going to be for you. If you are a shuffler, I would also recommend even further back, actually. That's where all these little shuffle circles come. You really need that space to be able to shuffle. Just because it usually, like, you sometimes see them break out in the middle of a festival crowd, right? You sometimes do, but it's just a bit too crowded sometimes to be able to do that. So if you really are looking to get your shuffling shoes on, I'd definitely recommend probably even further back than what we would do, just more towards the back. That way you really have enough space to do it. And that's where you'll find most of the shuffle kids anyhow.
Absolutely. And if you're playing with flow toys, we got people who like to hoop, people who like to, I can't remember all the names of the flow toys, but like the whip and all that. I find also the best place for that is also towards the back. So that way you're not hitting people straight up in the face with your flow toys, which I've ranted about before on an anti-plur moment.
You have. You know, I've never have you ever tried any of that stuff out, like, just personally?
I never have. I find hooping to be extremely mesmerizing, and I've always wanted to try it out. But, you know, I know myself, like, I just don't know if it's something that I want to invest my money
into. Honestly, I would pay you to do it, honestly.
Buy me one for Christmas and then we'll talk.
Okay, we'll see. All right, I might have to do that. But Alexis, thank you so much for that question. That's
great,
a fantastic question. You know, champions, if you have any other recommendations, you know, if you want to get together and put together that map that we were just talking about, definitely do so. Send it over to us on our Instagram. That's at btb.pod, or tweet at us. That's at podbtb.
All right, man. Yeah, we got a tough topic to cover, but just before we get into this topic, I want to put in a trigger warning on this topic. For those of you who might be sensitive to discussions about sexual assault, this would be a good time to go ahead and skip forward in this episode to avoid this next topic.
When I heard more about this, I think like you, it wasn't until the aftermath of his death that I really learned some more context around some of the consequences that he has had on people's lives and scenes.
Yeah.
So Samir, you can give some more background on this, but we're going to be talking about Eric Murillo, who just everyone really should know his name. He has just been an absolute superstar icon in the house music scene for the past probably like 30 years, something like that. But he was found dead in his apartment, was it? Or is his house in,
yep, in
Miami
his
Beach? Yeah, so he was found dead recently at the age of 49. So, Samir, if you want to give us some more background on it, I think we can then dig in and talk about this.
Yeah, topic. Yeah, man. He had a profound impact on our house music scene. There was also a really dark side to him as well that was kind of coming to light just right before his passing. So a month prior to his passing, he was actually arrested and charged with sexual battery on a woman. The victim in this incident states that she went to Eric Murillo's place to sleep after they were both DJing. She resisted his sexual advances and then went to sleep at his place, but woke up nude with a naked Eric Murillo standing over her. She had a rape kit done, and DNA evidence pointed to Eric, who later turned himself in on August 6th. So with a massive career like Eric's, and after 30 years on the scene, it saddens me to learn that he left behind like a really destructive path that undoubtedly affected the life of this woman who will now, unfortunately, like this is the worst part for me, but who will now never be able to tell her story in a court of law. So the golden question that we always come back to time and time again, and we talked about this with Bass Nectar, we talked about this with Datsik, but the question is, how do we remember Eric Murillo? Do we remember him as the man who brought house music to the masses with his track, I Like to Move It? Some of you guys may know that song from the movie Madagascar. Or do we remember him as someone who preyed on a woman and couldn't respect her boundaries? And it's that question, man. It doesn't just affect our EDM scene, but it also affects all subgenres: rock, hip hop, rap, R&B, and EDM is really seeing just bravery of these women come forward and tell their stories, which is something that we need to hear, something that we need to see to hold people accountable. But these questions come up: how do we remember these DJs and their legacy?
It's a hard one, isn't it? I really do think you have to remember all of a person, right? So not just the legacy that they've left on the music industry, but you also need to remember the important tidbits, or rather not tidbits, but significant parts of people like this, right?
Yeah.
It's a very difficult and almost subjective thing to have to answer for you personally. I think each individual needs to personally understand whether they can separate the art from the artist. But in a case like this, what really gets me and makes it more difficult for me almost to separate the art from the artist here is especially how it seems like he's ingrained this aspect of himself with the scene, right? Like they were both DJing, he's leveraging his power and influence as a DJ in order to do this. Not that necessarily like if he was doing this off in a non-EDM or music context that it makes it any better, but it makes it especially hard for me personally to separate the art from the artist when it seems like they're using their position in the music scene in order to do horrendous, terrible acts such as this, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, dude, that absolutely makes sense. And I don't know about you, Alec, and you know that song I Like to Move It, obviously that was, everybody knew that song, man, and like Madagascar just gave it a complete huge revival. And it saddens me now because like I just feel for this woman, dude. Like I just feel for her. She's trying to make her own way in the scene that is dominated by men. She is already up against it just with the stigmas associated around female artists who, you know, we've had female artists come on and talk about their strives of being a woman in the scene. And it's just so unfortunate that this is what she was subjected to. That's what hurts me. That's what really bums me out. And I have a hard time. I said this with the Bass Nectar thing. I'm going to say this now. I have a hard time separating the art from the artist. Now, when I think of Eric Murillo, I think about what he did to this woman, I don't think about his legacy anymore.
Maybe it's more simple than what we're talking about. Maybe you shouldn't separate the art from the artist, right? When you realize, because maybe doing that actually in a way reinforces some of these negative behaviors that we are seeing, these the reasons why they feel like they can leverage their power and their influence or just behave in that way. So perhaps by doing this, by saying, okay, your legacy is no longer, you know, completely untarnished. Yes, it definitely had an impact, and you can say it did have an impact on how house music was transformed into the modern era, how it was brought to the masses. However, this is really the ultimate part of your legacy, was that you're going to be primarily remembered for being somebody who used their position of power in order to make sexual advances on people. And then when they rejected you, you ultimately raped somebody. Like, right. That is your real legacy here. Somebody who used their power in order to do this. And maybe that is the way that it should be, just because perhaps that can deter people from thinking they can get away with things like this.
That's a good point.
Right?
No, like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to reiterate, like, that is really fascinating, actually. Like, maybe this whole conversation of, like, oh, it's okay, I can separate the art from the artist, so in my mind, like, this person is still a good person, and this might signal to other artists, like, hey, in the end, like, people are still able to separate my music from my own personal actions, so I'll be okay. I'll be remembered as somebody who put out music that people can enjoy rather than being a culmination of all my actions into one being.
Because this is still what the makeup of an individual is, right? Like, they've got the art to them, but then they've got, you know, their personality, their characteristics, their actions. Right. So you have to be able to look at a person holistically, right? And I get it, like, it's difficult because a lot of people use music as a escapism, right? They don't want to think about, you know, really, it's not so much about the artist as much as it is about the music, right? Like, that's why a lot of people are drawn to music, because it's not necessarily about the individual. But when you have people, especially in such positions of power, you almost have to really look at them holistically as an individual when you listen to their music as well. And it's okay. Again, you can acknowledge the fact that his music was very influential. And if you really want to, if you individually are able to, sure, maybe listen to it from time to time. But you also have to, when you're doing that, accept that this person was just, you know, really fucked up, right? In thinking that they can do this, and that you have to embed that part with the history and the legacy that he's done. You can't ignore one or the other, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense. And, you know, we kind of talked about this when it came to the whole Bass Nectar allegations and everything that was stacked up against him just a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. But in the end, this is always going to be an individual's choice about how they want to react to the news of the heinous actions that an artist has performed against another human being. Or some people are able to get past that. I'm not one of those people that can get past it, man. I'm not one of those people.
No, me neither.
Let's keep making sure that we make sure that people in power are aware that their actions will not just be forgiven and will not just be forgotten, and that everything will be okay, because that's not acceptable. And it's up to us as consumers of EDM, it's up to the EDM champions and their friends to vote with your wallets. And this goes for anything. If you don't agree with the practices of an individual or a company, you have the ability to vote with your wallet on what you want to support and what you want to spend your money on. And I think that's what it comes down to.
It comes down to that. And just one last quick point here, because I just thought about this too, but it's also down to the industry insiders, people who actually work in the scene as well. I mean, they honestly probably have a little bit more power even than the consumers do.
Yes. Right?
I feel like as a consumer, I mean, look, there's so many different factors, so many things that come in, and I'd hate to generalize here, but I feel like it shouldn't come down to the consumer to have to enforce this, right? I feel like there are multiple flags, multiple steps that could have happened from people who work alongside some of these people in positions of power that could have prevented, you know, further behaviors like this going on, further negative actions taking place, and really could have implemented some type of enforcement internally before the consumer ever really has to do anything.
So absolutely. Good
point. I do hate how it falls back on the consumer in order to uphold this, because I feel like this is something that should be handled before it even reaches the consumers, right? It's like a proactive thing, like, okay, some allegations have come out about this. We've already taken care of it. They're no longer getting bookings. They're no longer doing this, right? Like, enough of just the shoving under the rug type of thing, because they're a big person that holds a lot of power in the scene. That is, I think, something that really needs to be sorted, because otherwise we're just going to be forever having to react to this as consumers.
I know.
Like, it just seems like this whole negative cycle isn't going to end unless someone stops it more towards when they are actually behaving this way and industry people are made aware of it. They stop it then and there and kind of enforce the rules.
Good point, man. Very, very good point. Alec, there is some hope, though, for our EDM scene. And dude, I don't know about you, but I was surprised to see this report from Discogs, the massive online marketplace for digital, but more so physical pieces of music recordings. And what we mean by that, vinyls, CDs, tapes. Who the hell is still buying tapes? But apparently it's on the rise. But Alec, what are we talking about here?
I couldn't believe this as well. I mean, Discogs saw a near 34% jump in physical music sales in 2020 compared to 2019. So we've seen increases in CD purchases, right? I mean, CDs, right? Tapes. You know, we've talked about records before. We've known that is a trend, but I didn't realize it extended all the way to CDs and tapes.
Bro, I was shocked by the tapes piece, especially. Like, I guess I can understand, like, oh, I want to have, like, the cover art of the CD in my home. I guess I can get that. I mean, I have, like, Porter Robinson's vinyls, Madeon's vinyls mounted on my wall, so I could appreciate good-looking cover art. But cassettes? Like, I don't know if you remember what a fucking cassette box looks like, but it looks like shit. So I don't understand who is collecting these things.
I think it's a nostalgia type of thing, man, right? And I guess so. Maybe under lockdown it's increased because there is that aspect of nostalgia going on. I feel like people have reached back to more traditional forms of entertainment, right? People are playing more board games, more chess, more things like that, right? Like, it just seems like it's an element of nostalgia. So I'm about it. I mean, I think it's neat that people are going back and, you know, really digging into their memory books with these things and maybe stirring some memories from the former past. I mean, I'm always about it. And I think the more that you can help support independent small businesses as well, the better. So I think this is a good sign for some of those independent businesses and record stores that are surviving through the sales in facilitated by Discogs.
That's probably one of the biggest pieces here, man, is that when all these stores, all these restaurants, all these places of business were forced to shut down due to COVID-19. Now things are slowly starting to open up around the world, which is cool to see. But these record and vinyl stores and these places to purchase physical pieces of music, let's just refer to it as that, they had to quickly adapt and put their inventory onto Discogs in order to stay afloat. The fact that these places of business were able to help their business survive by having a place like Discogs to go to, and the fact that there was such a high demand, really, like, I don't know, man. I'm just happy to hear that. Like, I always worry about, like, how the music industry is going to look after we come out of the COVID-19 pandemic when venues and dance floors start to reopen. But these places to buy actual physical pieces of music, I was very concerned about. Like, there's nothing more fun than going to, like, a record shop and perusing the different selections. Like, I was able to find, like an Eric Prydz record one day. And I remember how excited I got about that. I bought that shit immediately. You know what I mean? But the fact that these stores can still support themselves and be open, hopefully after this pandemic, thanks to Discogs and the higher demand, is such a great piece of this whole thing. But here's some statistics that I want to read off to you, Alec, real quick, because this is why I'm so shocked by the cassettes piece of this whole thing. All right. So Discogs, like we said, is like one of the biggest marketplaces for physical pieces of music. They saw a 33% of increased sales in vinyl as compared to 2019. They saw a 31% increase for CDs. And they saw a 30.5% increase for cassettes. So it's not like cassettes increased by like 3%. No, it is almost on par with CDs and vinyls, which makes me think, like, are we going to see like a resurgence of cassette tapes that people are buying?
I don't think so. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think there's going to be a resurgence in the form of that being consumed as music. I think digital is really where everything is headed. Again, I think it's just going to fill in kind of that nostalgia niche sector that you find pretty much in any types of sectors, right? Like, I mean, there's still a niche market for people who want old iPods and things like that, Walkmans.
That's true.
All that. So I think it's just going to fulfill that very small percentage of music sales. I think it's still going to be, you know, facilitated there. But I think COVID has kind of just really spurred on that sense of nostalgia. And I'm not sure whether this is going to be a trend that lasts. I would really probably say there's going to be a dip in sales moving forwards after this. But I think it's just really cemented it as kind of like just reminded people that, you know, this was a part of history. This was, you know, something that you probably did when you were a kid or a young adult. And it just reminded people of it.
Dude, I'm looking forward to being 80 and throwing on my world's vinyl and be like, have you kids heard Language by Porter Robinson?
Yeah, so Samir, I guess we'll just have to wait and see in regards to whether this is a trend moving forwards. You know, as I said before, I don't think necessarily this will be. However, I do appreciate the nostalgia aspect, and I think that is going to remain in being its niche. I just don't think it's going to continue seeing such almost exponential growth.
Yeah.
But my man, we've got two pieces of music to review, and boy am I excited to do so. This is the What Are We Listening To section, EDM champions. If you're just joining us for the first time, what's up? We see you. Welcome to the show. So for these new champions, Samir, could you please just give a quick reminder and overview of how we rate these tracks?
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever gonna listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not gonna really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
All right, my man, thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Where are we going to start? I feel like some melodic house. How about you? Does that sound good?
Dude, I'm pumped up to talk about this. Who are we talking about, Alec?
We're talking about Monocule, if that's even a word. We were talking
nice
about
pronunciation.
This off-air. Monocule.
I feel Alec like and Stewie I went back and forth guy. On this, like, Monocule.
Is that a word? It's not a word.
I don't think it's a word not. Because it's Google Docs kept on, they kept on correcting the word as we were typing it in the show notes. But Alec,
I don't think it is.
Did you see this alias from Nicky Romero coming or not?
I actually did not. Were you aware of this?
I was not aware of this. It's interesting because just prior to this release, his brand new alias release, The Monocule Volume 1, he actually released a 2020 version of Toulouse, his hit Big Room song from, I believe, 2012, if I recall correctly. So I think he was like, all right, we got a Nicky Romero release of one of my most popular tracks, and boom, gonna hit you guys with my alias, taking it in a completely different direction. Three tracks off of this brand new alias. It's the Monocule alias with Monocule Volume 1 just released. Alec, where do we want to start, man? What song would you like to play? What was your favorite song off of this one?
Ooh, that's a tough one. For me, it's between the latter two, Close to Me and Waiting for You. I think we should give Close to Me a spin. Let's do that one.
Hell yeah.
Exciting, man. This is really exciting because I was not expecting this whatsoever. I mean, it's great to hear this sound from Nicky Romero. I'm not sure where the first song fits in. We didn't preview that one. That's Time to Save. However, Close to Me, which we just played, and also Waiting for You, really fits in well with that melodic house style. I'm really about it, and I think he's got a real knack for this type of music. What do you think?
he is incredible at attention to detail. And I think we really got that from this Monocule alias. As someone who discovered like Nicky Romero from like his big room releases, like myself, I'm talking like 2011, 2012. I was still wearing Abercrombie all over my t-shirts and big old jeans with boot cut openings. Dude, I was a bit unsure about how I would feel about this brand new Nicky Romero alias, just because like this is just something completely departing from his own original sound.
Right.
And when I first threw this on, I'll agree with you, Alec. Like, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this three-track release here, because Time to Save honestly does not really fit in well with the rest of these tracks. Time to Save is a little bit more faster energy. The vocals are more prominent. However, the other two tracks, Close to Me and Waiting for You, we just played Close to Me, those songs have a much better, I guess we'll call it call and response, as Alex said at the beginning of this episode. It's got the perfect amount of tension building and release. The elements come in just the right amount of time, and they take their time to develop, and that's what I really like about these latter two tracks. So, dude, I'm really pumped up on this. This is a really dope, like, deep melodic house direction for Nicky Romero that I was not expecting, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm glad that we're on the same page here.
Totally.
I'd love to go see him live, honestly, with something like this. This would be really interesting.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah, dude. Completely, completely agree. Well, I guess I might clue you into our ratings that are coming up, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. Alex,
yes.
Let's talk about some trance, baby. Or, you know, some of the trance heads out there might give us a big old slap across the face for calling this trance. But we're talking about Cosmic Gate and Andrew Bayer for their brand new collaboration, The Launch. Take a listen to this.
I'm a big fan of this song, man. You can hear Cosmic Gate's influence on the high ends there with the lighter notes coming in and Andrew Bayer bringing in some energy. I'm about this, man. I think it's funny that you mentioned that might not be considered trance, but in my books, I don't really mind either way. I could see this fitting into a progressive house set. I could see it fitting into a trance set. I think this is a fantastic song. Great release. Good contrast and energies. Let's go.
Dude. Pumped up on that, man. Pumped up on that. You know, I wasn't really sure how I would feel about this track going into it. Like, I'm a massive Cosmic Gate fan. And here's the thing. I've only heard not so stellar things about Andrew Bayer as it relates to trance, right? So, and this is bad of me because I'm going into this track thinking like, oh, Andrew Bayer, like, he's not very good, you know, at trance music.
Oh,
however,
no.
I know it wasn't right of me, man. And that's why, you know, I shouldn't just take the opinions of others. Like, I should make my own opinions. That's the beauty of life. You can make your own opinions. But I digress, right? So I came into this not knowing, like, how I'll feel about this. I love Cosmic Gate, but, you know, I've only heard not so great things about Andrew Bayer. But I really like this song a lot, man. I really like this one a lot because it just has this ridiculous energy on the drops, but it has, like, this uplifting feel, but in a non-cheesy way that Cosmic Gate brings into here, dude. Like, this song, I want to straight up be at the Estate of Trance megastructure at Ultra. It's 8 p.m. Eric Prydz is the next set. I want to be in that fucking structure listening to this track, putting my hands up and just getting lost in the beat, dude. I'm just dancing in my seat just thinking about this track.
I love it. And I can confirm he is dancing in his seat at the moment. I can confirm it.
Yes, thank you, Alec. I'm not a liar,
man.
On this.
Not a liar. But all right, let's give these tracks a rating. Starting off with Monocule, aka Nicky Romero. His tracks, Close to Me, Waiting for You, and Time to Save, make up his EP, The Monocule Volume 1. What are you going to give this to me?
Wow, I'm going first. Okay, I'm going to pull an Alec. I'm going to give it.
you little fuck.
I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5. Just bought tickets. That wasn't a very good accent, but I'm seriously going to give this.
You held the kind of tone down. It's
yeah,
right.
Thank you. I've listened to your voice for years now on the pod, right? But level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets because, like you, Alec, I am extremely excited for this direction from Nicky Romero. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it at first, but he is showing a lot of promise in this, and his attention to detail is very well seen in this release. his Monocule Volume 1 Alias release. Alec, what did you think?
I'm going to give this a level.
Oh my God.
4 out of 5. Just bought tickets, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
I want to see Monocule. I'm never going to get over that word. I want to see Monocule live, right? And I'm also very interested to see, will Nicky Romero start previewing this Alias in his regular Nicky Romero branded sets? That's a very interesting question for me to see. I can see it kind of as like a come down part in the middle of his sets. Yeah. I can see it being interestingly kind of assimilated there. However, I'm very excited to be able to go see him just be Monocule and just this type of melodic and deep house. I'm about it. I would be there.
Dude, pumped up right now. I'm pumped up on that. And let's toss this one over to Cosmic Gate, Andrew Bear, for their song, The Launch. What did you think?
Man, this is a tough one for me. It's in between two levels here. You know, we don't do decimal points, so...
No decimals. It's not allowed.
I know. Okay. This one, you know what? I'm in a good mood. I'll give this another level 4 out of 5. Just bought tickets. I'm in a good mood. I'm about it. I love the energy, the contrast between the high and the low. Just we're packing that heat in the drop. Just like you, man, I would love to be in the megastructure watching this before, say, an Eric Pritz set. Fantastic, fantastic stuff from these two. Thank you so much for putting this on our radar.
Dude, thank you for putting this on our radar, man. You're the one who texted me this song over the weekend to take a listen to, and I'm right there with you. You and me, hands up, getting lost in the feels, and then when it drops, we jump up and down, we get crazy. This is a level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets.
Nice.
This is dope. This has given me a newfound appreciation for Andrew Bear, and I'm pumped up on this.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. But champions, if you have any particular thoughts or you're taking any types of contrast to our thoughts, definitely reach out to us on our socials. Again, that's Instagram, that's at btb.pod, and Twitter, that's at podbtb. We want to hear from you. We want to know what your ratings would be on this as well. I think we'll start putting up some more polls and engagement on Instagram, so definitely check out for that. But you know, man, I love getting into this next section week in, week out. All right, everybody who has listened to this before, champions of the Beyond the Beats podcast and the EDM scene, welcome to the artists we're watching section, where we will put two fantastic artists on your radar. Samir, we always forget who took it up, who kicked it off.
I remember this time, and I've gone first the past two times, and I apologize for not being fair to you. So Alec, please give us the heat. Drop the heat. I am pumped up for your pick this week. Who you got?
Oh my Lord. First of all, what kind of Tom fuckery dark magic has allowed this guy to only have 442 followers on Instagram? He must be on your radar, and if you sleep on him, I'll personally come over and slap you silly. That's right, I'll find out where you live and I'll slap you across the forehead, right? However, I've got a feeling that his songs are gonna do all of that for me. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, get ready to listen to the sounds of a future D&B superstar. This is Oak White with his song Curse.
Alec, please do not come over to my apartment and slap me around, okay? This song already did enough of that. I am bruised, I am battered, and I'm loving this energy, like this deeper take of drum and bass. Like, I think this is just so sick, man. And what I love about this guy is that he's just incorporating a bunch of new elements into DMB that we don't commonly hear. Kind of similar to how we just talked about Emanu at the top over there, right?
This combination of neurofunk and halftime is just such an interesting sound, right? And I think it's getting really, really big right now. But Samir, do you know where this song can be heard? Like, this is why I'm just flabbergasted he hasn't gotten more attention yet.
No, I don't. Lay it on me, dude.
My man, this is from... Okay, well, not from, I should say. It was played on R.L. Grimes' Halloween mix, his last one. This
Fuck
was
off,
in the D&B
dude.
Section.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that. That is so dope.
That is exactly where I heard this first. And so when I stumbled across him, again, I was like, shit, I feel like I've heard this track before. And lo and behold, did some research, and R.L. Grimes played it in his Halloween mix, his most recent one. Wow. I mean, just to get support from a name like R.L. Grimes, this person is doing something right. And you know what, man? I never do this, but I'm going to tell you what. He is so good, I'm actually going to play two songs.
Lay it on us, baby.
Just
Lay it
so
on
that
us.
You get... Exactly, man. Just so you get the full scope of his sound and talent, take a listen to another track of his called Chlorophyll.
I love when we do this, when we play two distinct tracks from one particular artist, because it just shows the breadth that they have, the kind of sounds that they can incorporate into their tracks and their specific genres.
It's amazing, man. Like, you know, and that's one thing he's able to do really well. He doesn't have too many releases out, but aside from Curse and then Labyrinth, which is off the same EP, which has this darker, more neurofunk style sound, his other ones are much more similar to Chlorophyll, and it's almost like combining Liquid with... I don't know. It's just, it's got its own futuristic type of D&B sound, which is really interesting. I think he was featured on Liquid City's, one of their volume back in 2019. I think that's how I found, also that's initially, dope. Like, again, I just completely forgot. I'd actually listened to the song before, but just completely forgot about it till I stumbled across it again. And it's just amazing to see people who have such talent and just such breadth and depth in their songs. You know, and I don't know much about him. He's kind of keeping it mysterious, right?
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to find out too much information. But I don't know if you've noticed, Samir, but just the quality of sound production is just spot on. It's just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's spot on. So whoever is doing his mastering, or if he's doing it himself, just they're doing something right. It's amazing.
Dude, absolutely. Thank you to our resident DMB expert, Alec Prieto, the Beyond the Beast podcast. Don't you say that, man. Don't you say that. You are the fucking expert. I heard you're writing your thesis on D&B. I'm pumped up to read it, all right?
But yeah, dude, we'll see.
Thank you so much for introducing Oak White to us right here on the pod. All right, it's my turn. EDM champions, fire up that Prius, okay? Get those sunglasses on and be prepared to sit in traffic for a majority of your day, because we're heading to Los Angeles, baby, and this song by Foul Play is your soundtrack. Ladies and gentlemen, we need infectious dance floor stompers, and Foul Play teamed up with Zach, Z-A-K, to deliver a track that I guarantee you will be stuck in your head until the end of time. I am super stoked to play his massive track, To LA. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Dude, you messaged me before we went on air saying, I have a feeling you're going to like this pick, and you are absolutely right. You know my taste. I love that you're getting back to some house here, man. Just fantastic sounds. How'd you come across them?
Bro, there are wonders that can be found as you scour through SoundCloud, man. Some people say that SoundCloud is dead or it's dying, but I'm telling you, it is still the premier spot to find underground talent, and I'm so pumped up that I found Foul Play, all right? And let me just put this out there right now, okay? If you guys like those, like, shuffling dance floor grooves, then I promise you, you're going to absolutely love Foul Play. This guy is just pushing, like, this new wave of house music that even, like, the most casual house listener can get, like, really, really into. This guy is all energy. I promise you that. This guy is all energy, and his tracks are a ton of fun. I would love to see some shuffling videos to this song, because I think people can just get down to this, man. I was doing jumping jacks to this song. If I can do jumping jacks to this, you can do some shuffling routines to this track.
I love it, man. I love it. Thank you so much for putting Foul Play on our radar. But wow, what an episode. I feel like we talked about a bunch. We got in lots of energy in it, man. Just thanks again to all of the EDM champions that continue to listen to us week in, week out. We don't know how you're not tired of our voices yet, but it's very, very much appreciated. And
absolutely,
we've got some big plans for the podcast and for Beyond the Beats as a brand in general. So definitely stay tuned and watch out. Just again, thank you so much. We truly, truly could not do this without you.
Yeah, absolutely. And just real quick before we sign off, I just want to say thank you to everybody who made us a part of your Labor Day weekend. We saw a huge spike in plays over the long weekend here in the U.S., and I was shocked, man. I was not expecting to see like so many people tuning into Beyond the Beats during like this long extended weekend that we have here in the U.S. But whether you're listening to this in your car, on the beach, while you're doing the dishes or cooking or you're driving or you're working, just know that we appreciate every single one of you from no matter where you are. Thank you so much for making us a part of your lives. We're just two dudes who love EDM, and we're here to stay. We're here to contribute to the conversations that need to be had in our scene. Speaking of which, we're not going anywhere. We got episode 74 coming your way next week. Stay tuned. We'll see you guys soon.